It's Sunday afternoon and time once again for Wordplay. I'm your host, Jeff Davis. This past fall, I had the great pleasure of participating in the Spirit of Black Mountain College Festival over at Lenore Ryan University in Hickory. And given the poets who were present there, Leanne Brown, Lisa Zerno, Thomas Raincrow, among them, for all of whom have been on Wordplay, I expected to encounter surprises. But the poet whose work really surprised me the most, I believe, was Thomas Meyer. Audio from those readings in Hickory is still not available, so I realized that the only way I was going to hear them again was to go over the ridge to Scaly Mountain. So I did that this week to record the reading and conversations that we'll listen to today. This is Thomas Meyer. Tom, it's been a year of transitions for you in some ways. Of course, you lost your partner of many, many years, Jonathan Williams, last year. Just over a year ago now, or not quite a year ago, I suppose. And then you lost your cat.
Lost my cat, my doctor.
Your doctor.
My lawyer. My kind of faithful renter on the property.
So. Yeah. So. Yeah, major transitions.
Major.
Yeah. And your work seems to have gone through a metamorphosis in a way, too, over the last several years. When I first encountered your work, you were, first and foremost for me, a master of a formal poetry, of poetry written in forms. I mean, I can't think of another person of our generation who's done a crown of sonnets.
And a grand crown.
And a grand crown,
which
yes.
is 14 rather than
yeah,
seven.
Right.
Which I thought was a form. And then, so I did it and then realized it wasn't. It was, mm-hmm. you know, something I invented.
You invented.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. There you go. But you've moved more and more in the last several pieces that I've seen into a freer verse and one that seems to be almost polyvocal or has many voices playing through it. How do you think of your own, of the changes in your own work over the last, say, 5 years?
Well, I think that polyvocal is right, polyphonous. A piece of mine that's a little bit earlier, well, a little bit more than 5 years ago, called Coromandel, which was a book,
mm-hmm. Right.
was kind of crept up on me in a way in which I suddenly, when I wrote the first section of it, and then I realized there was more to go. There were more sections, as it were. And as it kept going, and actually it was very clear to me in the first piece of it that I wrote, that I finally had, to some extent, the poem I've been trying to write since I was 18 or 19 years old, which was a poem that had, it's not so much different voices, but had the ability to suddenly, you know, sound like a Japanese, a courtesan's diary, mm-hmm. and then sound like, Louis Zukofsky or something like mm-hmm. that. I mean, just I'm reaching
sort of
for
polytonal,
yes,
as well as polyvocal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it had always, whenever I tried to do that, as it were, I didn't know how really to do it, and it always seemed to be very flat to me. Mm-hmm. But I think the thing that opened it up for me to some extent was doing some Chinese translations, and also just realizing that there is this conversational quality, this voice, and there's the voice in the head or the voices in the head, which for me are very conversational, mm-hmm. and they just kind of opened up in a way that it hadn't been open to me before. The closest I ever got to it or felt it really was in the work of Frank O'Hara years ago, whose work I knew when I was younger, in my late teens and early 20s, but then when I was about 25 or 30, I wrote a review of Frank O'Hara's collected poems for Parnassus magazine and was completely immersed in the work and really realized it, how important it was to me. And part of it was, I guess, those things that everyone talks about in his work is the spontaneity and the conversational quality.
Right.
Now, God knows whether whatever happened to me or whatever I feel came from that is what is in Frank O'Hara, I don't know. I remember being told by someone how horrified Marianne Moore was to find out that Allen Ginsberg considered her an influence on his work.
Influence can work in mysterious ways.
That's right. So these are kind of, they're just sort of like... they're like tags that you put in the garden by something you planted. God knows if it is an orange tulip that comes up there.
Right, right. So were you working on Coromandel at the same time as the translation of the Tao? Were they simultaneous projects?
Yes, they were. They were. They sort of. The Tao took me so long to do, I mean, I had thought maybe a translation would be there, but it just wasn't there. I couldn't make it happen for about 10, 15 years. And then it was this conversational thing that I'm talking about. It was suddenly realizing that what, for whatever reason, and it's somewhat controversial, but I thought what the Tao was someone sitting at a table as we are right now talking to you, that it was a voice speaking to you.
Right.
After a meal with some wine or something, that was the pitch or whatever it was that I heard. And the minute that idea came to me, suddenly it just kind of opened up in a way that it hadn't been open to me before.
Which would actually fit with this circumstance of its creation, where it's alleged.
Absolutely, you know, that he sits down. You know, he's crossing the border to leave the country, and the man at the border guard says, "No, you can't leave until you tell me everything you know,"
right.
Which was less than a bottle of wines for two people. The moon had just come up, and he, you know, the night was still young, and he left.
Yeah. Never to be heard from again.
Right. That's right. He's probably living in Larchmont.
Well, why don't you share one of these more recent poems with us?
What I think I'll do is, I wrote, three of them were written when Jonathan Williams was dying. It took about a month, about four weeks. He was in the hospital and in a decline that became sharper, and it didn't seem like this was going to happen when he went in. But anyway, I had been working on a piece, and then the piece became a kind of, not a diary, but it was something I wrote during his hospitalization, during his decline, and at his death. And then I followed that. When that was finished, there was another piece, and then a third piece. So what I think I would do right now, I don't know why, but I think I will read the second of those three pieces rather than the first one. This is a piece called Endings.
Okay, yeah, please do.
Endings. There is a hollow. What was being in love all about? A big book lies open before me. I write my name. No, your name. Or was it our names? Uncertainty has no place in romance. Better to be let go, not to know. Thank God for the rain, the stillness at its heart, or my heart. Il pleure. Often shortly after dying, they come to her in her dreams to say they are all right, I guess. But me, I appear to her. Am I dead, haunting the shower every morning? Not soap, not hot water? What? There is an openness, an emptiness, or gap. Why do I say cherry or oak? That is not rhetoric, nor a suddenness, but a quickening of moonlight, if that can be imagined. I forget the following. How it asks to be seen in all of its invisibility. Indivisibility. Is that it? the loss, inconsiderable, constant, like the mind, closer, an Elizabethan drama at 2 a.m, a grass-lined trough. I don't feel alone yet am, another life, bleeding somehow into this, a seam weakened, early, the last century, great war, that amazing Gewürztraminer you shared with us, Domain Weinbach, it made him part of the meal. I turn out to be no Luther. For me, memorial, at most, bless the wine. It was only wine, its own fragrant self. Take a book off the shelf. There, that space. I find myself napping, hoping to fall into dream, as though that last fleeting touch is there, but gone, soon, corner of my eye, blue blazer, gray flannel. Shock me. I'm gone, everything's okay. Tried to be in touch earlier, but the lines were down. Blink, and you are gone. Where is the book that goes there? Where the fullness I know persists? Not a glass of wine, but water. Miraculous as the breeze whose edge talks to me. Of everything, everything but you. What had I expected? Ghosts, haunting details? I don't know, unless loss itself does away with the previous itself. It must. A stalk free from its roots floats down the river. Seeing this, so would I. Sad place. Not the people, those I know, or don't. Their faces. Something bad. Think of a Bollywood movie, an hour or so along, when the unhappiness happens. No more singing and dancing for at least another quarter hour. Then there is an animal who bestows the god's blessing. Here I am, at what seems like the end of everything. The next breath. Poem. Thought. He said how sorry he was for my loss. Thomas. Dead. Gone. Swallowed by doubt. Who wanders India. Come back. I would love you. Care for you. Something happened. It was blue, is about all I can say. Wait, there were flowers. History isn't more than this, or this, to discover the story all over again and to love it and not the people in it. It has come to this, a perfect afternoon, in the shade of the porch, slight movement of air, nowhere to go, nowhere to come from, the most extreme of isolations, the moment itself. Now I weep for what? Can I even admit these tears, what is gone, what to come? The call that goes unanswered waits, like snow upon the air until it rains, and returns where? Damp ground in a dry season. Are there corners turned, and things just around them, unseen? No idea they were there. Before the song, before the path, an open mouth, ball of the foot. This time tomorrow, a public grief hides in the arms of loud music. Not one step further, neither left nor right. Alone in the middle of that room, take a pillow and a blanket. Sleep out on the porch, that much closer to the incident of rain. Naked, maybe dream. Nothing but the dawn has left me. These are letters written 40 years ago. A light rain. Good, it's been so dry. Where is that love? Still there? Ragged edges, brittle paper, cancelled checks, stubs. The moment the heart skips a beat, goes, gone. Perhaps I said no more than a whiff of sandalwood, or smudge on the window pane where someone pressed his face, or hers, the scene beyond lightly blurred off to one side, just a bit. Who was that, a familiar voice, calling my name at the edge of sleep I wake? Not his, whose? Someone returns home unexpectedly. Not late, but I've gone to bed, all but sound asleep. That patch of daylilies I planted 10 years ago has begun to bloom. The time has come for endings. A homelessness, shopping cart, cardboard box. Day itself free of anything but its blue. Another few hours before sunlight falls. Right here, but beyond the hemlocks and maples and poplars, I think they are. It shines without hesitation. Nothing pauses where I step, then stand. My head, my hands on my head. It's here somewhere. I'll find it. A scrap of paper. Something I meant to say, but wrote instead. A couple sheets of white paper. Departures and arrivals. Not lost. Maybe not even mislaid. this is the last time I'll see you. Although I've got everything ready to go, apparently we don't leave until tomorrow. Sometimes doesn't the psychopomp announce his final visit? Here we are waylaid, rather than ending or beginning. Not the dog days yet, bright red leaves on the ground. From the look of them, come from somewhere else, some other time. Tweed bent by no knee, nor cuff brushed. And they were talking about a suit. Whose? What they said hard to hear, as though it came from another room or another world.
Or another world, indeed. I love the way that moves between thought and memory and perception, you know, crossing all these thresholds with such wonderful ease. Very, very nice work. Yeah. So that arose out of...
It arose, actually, I think... You see, I wrote... This is the second of these three sort of longish poems that I wrote after Jonathan's death. Mm-hmm. The first one during it. And this one, I don't know, it arose out of having written the first of these poems. And I think each of them was a decompression from the experience in a certain way. And really talking about... I don't know what, talking about everything but, I don't know. I think part of it was what I now realize is that having gone through that profound experience of having someone die and being with someone who dies, which is profound and unexpected and bears no resemblance to anything you prepare yourself for, even in a similar situation or anyone can tell you about, that I felt I was in some kind of zone, and that zone went on. I still am. Right. And it seemed to me that there was this kind of polyvocal thing going on, and that I just, in that kind of Spicer-like way in which he would talk about opening himself up to these, you know, at 2 a.m. mm-hmm. having drunk bottle of scotch, voices would come. They would be there, and these light concerns. I mean, they're not light, but they're light in that they're not drilling baby drill. You know, they're not mm-hmm. they're not attempting to go to try to push down into them. They're trying to slalom or ski along the surface of these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and also I think that curiously enough, that through this experience of writing these poems, and also it's also been a concern of mine really from day one, is that I really am interested in poetry that is about well-being, about that meditative state of well-being, which is maybe not just, it's not maybe happiness, but it's a sense of well-being,
yes.
Which is, I don't know what I mean by that other than it is a kind of meditative thing. It's a sort of, it's a physiological, and it's not, you know, it's what comes up and it's there and it seems to be, it's sustainable, but it doesn't go with you throughout the day, but you carry it with you.
Yeah. Do you practice some sitting meditation?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I practice a lying down meditation.
Lying down meditation. Well, whatever works.
I know what the thing is. Mm-hmm. I know what the feeling is.
Yeah.
And that is, I've been very fortunate because that's the little brown men in India tell me that I got that from my mother, who was a yoga. You can't get a black belt in yoga,
right,
but she was
right.
a great practitioner of Hatha yoga, which I had no interest in when I was a kid and paid no attention to. And in fact, just blocked out of my mind until I was like in my 30s, 40s. Mm-hmm. And I suddenly, I mean, I knew about it, but it was like her baking cookies or something
right,
like that.
Right.
And when I was in India, I was interested in Indian astrology, Jyotish. And one of the people I was dealing with said, you've got this extraordinary gift that comes from your father. And I said, well, wait a minute, India being such a patriarchal society, I said, let's just look this over. And it was indicated as coming from the family and stuff like that. And I said, I think I know where that came from, and that comes from her. And it's just the ability to access that kind of, sort of like a high, you know.
Right, yeah. Serotonin or whatever is at work there,
exactly,
probably.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
But yoga, you can certainly get there with yoga as well.
Yeah.
And of course, you also do a lot of walking and running. So
yeah,
you,
so there's
another way
yeah.
to yeah, yeah kick the endorphins into gear. Yeah. Very nice work. So would you like to read another of the... It's Wordplay. I'm your host, Jeff Davis. We're listening today to a reading, a conversation with poet Thomas Meyer over at Scaly Mountain. This is WPVM 103.5, still the progressive voice of the mountains. Here's some more of Thomas Meyer. Yeah. So, would you like to read another of these three?
Yeah, I think maybe. Let's see, what should I do? I think maybe I will read the first one, which was the one that is sort of like, I began without any, I mean, Jonathan was in a sort of moderate decline, and I mean, I began this poem, which was not paying any attention particularly to that, directly to that aspect of my life, and then he wound up in the hospital, and it was very serious at the beginning, and then it seemed to get better, and then it got worse. Right. And then I think I wrote, I worked on it for a couple of weeks after his death. So this is, again, this, I don't know necessarily were you to, I don't know. I mean, I don't pay attention to, I mean, it's so sloppy that way. I don't know whether anyone would pick the text up and realize that was going on or not. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And this is called kintsugi, and which is a Japanese word and a Japanese thing. It's the Japanese practice of repairing ceramics that have been broken with gold lacquer to illuminate the breakage. So this is kintsugi. All dogs bark his name, he who has gone there from here, past time's gap, jumped. Do we come back in our father's blood? What happened a year ago gets pierced by today. Where did I leave that book? In the car. Those uncertain seconds are everything when I can't put my hand on it, whatever it is, or whenever. A new moon, what is not there felt for, in the dark. Get up, go out to the car. Set the chair at the table and put the loaf right there. No knife, tear it. Sit, write. I drift. Books in black and white, the honey here of a difficult pattern not to shy from or even follow, but let stand until it sticks. Is that all there is? Some lines going where? A place the tongue finds, an afternoon, tasted, said, all the world Mayan. While here we are to wonder, is this seen or heard? Heard, seen, at the frilly edges of thinking, such thoughts. Sit so you don't hurt the grass, an impossible grace every day we fall from. To sit out while outside a light rain, but to sit while outside a light but steady rain falls, while someone walks into the room, though he's not there if I look up, I won't. What a luxury this loneliness is, to sit in the sun on that flat spot up behind the house where the bloodroot still hasn't come to tell me you are gone. Once a river, only a shudder of sunlight and water is left, and a complete blank when it comes to deserts. Drought I've seen, though, how the sight of no rain looks remains, not a mystery, but another cul-de-sac talking about it leads us down. That shelter included shadow, surprises. But why? Hidden under a bushel basket, stood in front of, protection, each hand cupped, and whatever it is that needs this care slips like water through the fingers but remains refreshment. The key is here, but not the room number. Does that mean try the locks? Or wait, for what? I'm sure any angel would agree. Who wants in when the time comes? Not the time, but time. Who, just who? In a pool beside the sycamore, we see who hides in that tree, with a hand to cup cold water. Who will come down when? Careful of the stars when you pass through the cloud. At the edge of town, I'm standing there. Then look up, see you and me on a sled, in each other's arms sliding down a slope. New snow. What disturbs the air? Strikes the note and breaks the chord. A match, struck in the dark, after it goes out. After a few minutes, the eye can see full well. You, whom I never dream of, I dream of, your tender final sleep. And think of those kids lost in the woods, praying to a sonnet of angels to protect them. Go, my envoy, into the month spring comes, gathered up and let go. Honeysuckle, wisteria, a river of stars, hold my hand. Startled rust, black and white tohi on the gravel. Slow, long, cool spring. Red fox carries the gingerbread boy across the river. Run for your life, run. My feet almost not there in the wet grass. An evening, not cold, yet spring. It has come to this. My sitting here writing this beside your sleep. Pindar had it right. Sing for those who hear the song and they, what? Last. Their souls asleep, limbs awake. A thief in the night. Did I say that already? But isn't everything in the dark stolen? Day's other half, the great burglar of all we hold on to, then let go of? Gap you could drive a Mack truck through, or the whole vernacular? Then what's left, apart from a personal indifference to pronouns? All my life I've been waiting for something, and now here it is, unapparent, like a wood in Germany, not fog, but a mist for a moment obscures you. An empty pair of shoes out in the middle of the room. A thing about waiting. Take away anticipation, and that's all there is. Those words from Latin, I, tries to avoid. A lesson I can't, or it won't be, learned. Talk with us. We too fear both fire and time. Certain they are the same. What is left when they are done? What is left to do but move to Spain and live there life's cruelty? Walk into a room, not know where I am. Once it was love had me so distracted. Now it's death. It won't be hours until this happens, what took seconds to transpire. Moments in each other's arms when time is a toy, something simple, winds up, runs down, clatters. The story itself isn't remarkable. Though not all that believable, a young man, apparently the gardener, who tells the women to do something, they don't, and then they run away afraid. It hardly matters. I've probably already heard it, or never will. Anticipation is the what to call it, not the answer, really. There is a music I've been waiting for, I want to say, all my life. Some vast Russian novel in which I am packing and unpacking belongings. Mine, I own. My Hindu friends tell me I'm part of a long line of warriors, but in this life a writer under Sarasvati's blessing. Flesh and grass, Brahm's requiem. The women weep over the last lines, the ones not written yet. They carry a child. 40-some years ago, he would have been the Eon. Today, he sells cars south of Chicago. I often mistake the watering can for the cat. For that matter, any flux of shadow seems to be him coming to find me. In the middle of the floor, I wanted to say, or meant. But it was an emptiness that swept away the ground to include what else? Windows, chairs, a table, a where, or a we are. Who must dream the dream before we can dance it? Honey in the difficult pattern of dark and light. The world we see is music. Music in a dream, then. It moves. Red sun, green field, black Angus, tree above, rain or night, ever careful of the stars. Yellow river, in a distant haze, klezmer music. On those banks, pamplemousse was invented. No time for Chinese philosophy, one foot in front of another. Not being there. For what they drew, for that they drew a branch to show the bird had flown. But the ending on the table, better yet, in the drawer, forget beginning and middle. They are lies. Neither has been, nor ever was. What were they? This is the happiness that wipes the face clean, puts a smile on it, stars in your eyes. Napoleon's men didn't want to, or couldn't, restore the rose's petals to the diadem of its stem. Forever water falls, an ankle held between neck and shoulder, completely but easily. Someone walking in the hallway, morning details swept up, a damp sheet pulled out from under a hip. Something, or rather some place, fingers discover. Not quietude, but recitude. What does that mean? A net? A tacit agreement? Again, not saying, again. A car through the leaves barely seen except for sunlight on a wet morning. A fight to get rid of like, not even a car. Movement, something, color. Then something else steps in through the leaves barely seen except. For me, the hardest and last thing to do have been the least. To pick up your glasses and know you will never look through them again. La vita nuova. Where does it end or begin when? The rain and wind were only mice in the ceiling, mice in the silence, lips parted, slight arch of tongue, a bit of air. There was a book there before I nodded off. My hand can't find, nor is there enough light to see just where I am. A place I know I knew, yet can't quite place right now. The curtain lifts and the dead enter while the living exit. This is what the world is, a hand held out amidst noise and dust, whose touch is a wide-eyed lifetime. No end to what is, and not water or whatever else we know as stuff, all that comes from this, while everything, so to speak, that comes also goes away and is gone, damp sheet pulled out from under a hip, moonlight so much, not full, a quarter, my hand in front of my face, where to go. In this room, the sound of water, of breath. In this dream, you are 20 years ago, getting up to pay for lunch. And I am me now thinking, my God, what have I done? Knowing you will die in a day or two.
Very nice. Very moving work. Yeah. Thanks very much for reading that. That's the way the themes play through that. I want to say it's symphonic, but it's not. It's more like, because it's more like a French Impressionist work than a symphony.
Or French Impressionist music.
Or French Impressionist
well,
music.
Well, yeah. It's a small group. You know, there are no horns, I don't think.
Right, no horns, right.
So, I mean, my feeling about... You know, and it's personal, so I withhold judgment. But my feeling about poetry and the reading of poetry is that it is akin to chamber music, and it's akin to showing you my etchings. Mm-hmm, you know that mm-hmm. it's not. And I have a terrible time with the idea of performance, mm-hmm. because performance for me implies wanting to please the audience,
right,
and wanting
right.
applause, yeah. and wanting to wow right. the audience or to mm-hmm. do something. And, obviously, if you get up and read a poem, it is a performance. But I really think that, most poetry readings are very small audiences anyway. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, you can't.
15 or 20 people. Or
unless
like
it
that.
Is Def Jam or whatever that right, went on the road. So,
yeah.
So, I mean, I think part of when I was talking earlier, and you were mentioning the term polyvocal and the voices and things like that, I think for me it is very much because I have been very concerned or involved with the idea of the lyric and the lyric being defined as something that is overheard. Mm-hmm. And this kind of slightly schizophrenic idea of voices being overhearing and, mm-hmm. And trying to hear those mm-hmm. those things. And the way in which in conversation, were we to record it and transcribe a conversation, there things just come and go.
Right.
You know, they just arrive and
right.
and I know that, you know, and even in the interview situation, you know, it's just like a kind of pulse that's present mm-hmm. and it mm-hmm. dies away and comes back up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you're talking about a vineyard, the next about Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And things pop into the mind and things go away. And, mm-hmm. and that I think is very interesting. I think that's much more interesting than writing your poem about, you know, sitting on the porch mm-hmm. with katydids, your wife sleeping in her room upstairs, mm-hmm. and
right.
your disappointment at, or your great joy at mm-hmm. what's happened mm-hmm. in your life, or something like that. Yeah. But that's, you know, setting out to have an argument. So, I mean, it's very paratactic mm-hmm. in that sense. And I remember being very, very impressed at a very young age by Robert Duncan's poem beginning with a line by Pindar, mm-hmm. which is just kind of goes all over the place in mm-hmm. some ways. And then towards the end, there's a prose section in which he says something like, the editor tells us that Pindar's art was more like a mural than a painting, you know, and that it's something painted on a wall and the thing turns and you don't see mm-hmm. the whole thing all at once. The way when you look at a painting, you can see everything in the painting. Whereas mm-hmm. a mural, if it's going to turn a wall or something, you mm-hmm. just begin at some point and follow it.
Right. And move with it, as it were. Yeah. Interesting. So that's actually going to be a book.
Soon. Yes, that's a little chapbook that's being published by Richard Owens, Punch Press is the press in it, and should be within a month or two come out.
Well, good, okay. How do you prepare yourself to hear the voices, the dictation? I mean, as you said, for Spicer, it was drinking a bottle of scotch.
Yeah.
I assume you have a different...
I'm very much a morning person, and I think I think what's happening is I'm generally reading some things and thinking about things and at some point fairly early in the morning, you know, it's the typical thing, a line comes to your head and part of it is also just going with that, and then if it stops, just letting it stop. Mm-hmm. You know, so it might only be two lines or something
right.
like that.
Right.
And then something else comes. And also it's cumulative, obviously, I think, because once something's there after a while, then more comes. And a lot of what I've done in the last few years has been sort of a John Cage thing, in that the bits of the poem that come to me when they come to me are not necessarily in the order in which, mm-hmm. and they are not, and I don't edit them into an order. I sometimes just randomly
left them assembled,
yeah,
as it were.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm very surprised by how they do. Well, of course, part of it is you've created a field, you've drawn a circle, and you're mm-hmm. inside that circle, and it's one day after another, or something might come to me to write down in the afternoon, mm-hmm. So that it's all in the same place. So it's not surprising that there are things repeated, or there are ideas that come back, mm-hmm. or images that return. But it's sometimes very interesting to me to see where I just take these scraps of a few lines and just let them get mixed up and then decide this is the order. And I do always, and each time I have said to myself, well, if it makes no sense whatsoever, it looks crazy, I'm just going to go in there and fix that.
Right.
And it's always been, it's always turned out, so far, it's always turned out better than I could have made it go together. And it also, to me at least, as the person who wrote it, it seems much fresher than any order that I could have come up for the so-called fragments as they as they appeared in my writing. And it also seems to me to be to suit what's going on, which for me is this kind of these voices and this kind of drift in things. And I guess it is, you know, like late 19th century polychromatic, you know, it's like Wagner without all the tire pressure in it. It's like the more like Gamelan, like Debussy, like, and the Gamelan sort of the thing that it, or at least Gamelan as it might occur to Western ears who are not pinning it themselves on anything, so it does sound a little bit more disparate than it might to someone in the culture. I think it's also like ragas, you know, which sound groovy, you know, if you're if you're an American 18-year-old in 1965, when in fact culturally they have their shapes and sounds that are definitely there, and moments that arise and go away, and it's just the scale is very different than listening to music in the West is generally, because it takes hours to get to that moment in which there's a gathering, as the Quakers would say.
How do you work? Do you work in longhand? Do you?
I would do both, but I think I generally work on the computer. I used to write on a typewriter when I. Almost exclusively
back in the day.
And but with this kind of thing that's happening, I will suddenly sort of, you know, when I wake up, there'll be, you know, something will occur to me, so I'll write that down, and then kind of, it isn't so much transcription, but it just gets. But I think primarily for me, it really is keyboard stuff. But it's also a matter of, and I don't know, I think this might be more common than I think, but for me, I like writing on a computer, but I also like printing it out and taking it and walking somewhere else in the room and sitting down and reading it. And then, like I said, since I'm pasting these things together, or, you know, they come out fragmentarily, and then the next, so I do have the order in the file of which they've been written. And that's what I say to myself, well, if this kind of exercise in the aleatoric or the random ordering of these fragments or stanzas doesn't work, I do have the order in which they were written, and I can and let that be one possibility. The other possibility is, God forbid, which I've not done, interestingly enough, go in there and sort of do it myself, just decide this goes for, this would be good after that, which I think is a real mistake.
Many a good poem has been written that way.
Absolutely. That's your writer's workshop for you.
Yeah, right.
I don't think you can write a poem about a poodle. However, Goethe did. You know, the devil appears as a black standard poodle in Faust.
That's right. One wonders where Goethe arrived at that. Why not?
Well, and you know, as aristocratic hunting dogs, this could be a decadent culture.
It's Wordplay. I'm your host, Jeff Davis, and today we're listening to poet Thomas Meyer. Let's get back to our interview and reading.
Now, the third one I think it's one thing, but it's got two titles. It's got a short opening section called Open Window, and then the longer tail piece is called Open Door. Okay. Open Window. Sudden flicker, light, late afternoon, bird, but in that instant something expected, someone or thought gone. Here then not, the air holds its shape a moment more, an instant outlasts its own emptiness. When my father died, his nurse opened the windows. To let him go, she said. In Chinese, a hand reaches for the moon to mean have, or commonly be, to have to be, or not, grab the moon or blot out its light. There's no timing to these things, unless it's all timing, a beat impossible to catch. The score appears in a dream, only to evaporate, arms upraised. A cat appears, long lost, almost forgot, where a music might redound, the sound of rain. That pause in the day's occupation comes, loud music, then thud, silence. Grandfather's hand, or an uncle's, stirs up the cistern. This, and it's meant to be, the mind's confusion. Show me your heart. I lie awake in the dark an hour or two before dawn. Things go through my mind. Thought will wear them out, I hope. Weren't those your last words to me? What do you think, Tom? A penny? A pansy? Don't, I hear you say, get too fancy. This time I can find my way back, or wherever. I've done it before, in another dream. How many before this? Sandy-haired, well-bred, Catholic family, recent converts. He speaks to me in French. Is he? Every word he says betrays my understanding. I always saw you as the perfect couple, she said, that second-person ambiguity amid the lush stuff and nonsense coming at the end of something, the beginning of something else, the beckoning fair one, that third who always joins the companions on the road. The event opens the window and comes through it. French sounds. Are they words? Whose? What proposes this? This asking. Each minute lives in its dying. Here nothing to see or remain. Remains. The great K.N. Rao told me, the moon dasha will be the best part of your life. The Mars dasha will be good, but none better than the moon's. And your sadhana goes well. Why not? Have all that over with. Out from under, the waiting, not the wanting, but the wait. Open book, not open door. But why not? Book, door, table, chair, blank, slate. Book, over and over until there is no over. The mind, the heart, whatever holds, runs out. My life rolls out there like a lawn. Rolled. Now it's not so much the house, its overlooking porch, but the woods behind that seems to me to be what's going on or going forth. Open door. An open door, as though it were a policy, and everything that you loved, the nation it governed. A dream in the head of a long-haired kid, sitting at a table with a cup of coffee, reading a book in Chinese, to lie in wait, lie in thought. Along the fold of seeing what's going on or not lifting the slightest finger, sleight of hand, not wanting, waiting, what, for, the window up. Did I say that? There's been so much telling, not memory, words there, how, so that the right distance, is it? The right spaces, openings, a big white moon suddenly there. Which is the November one? Can't remember. A day from full caught in the tangled horizon of bare branches. But not there, just now. A cloud hides it from me. Something that was, isn't. A sky fire engine red over there. A blank wall, a dream. Apparently in this one, not getting lost. Coming back is another matter. Bottomless cup of black coffee. isn't me looking into it, though I am and see a sad end, not mine, letting go of everything. I look at this photograph of you, and it alerts in me feelings for you, which are probably already there, but just tripped at this moment. To what end? To say I miss you, to say I want you back, when the impossibility of that stings. This humility, or is it helplessness? Make it no secret what I am telling you. If you hear it, tongue poised, lips apart, puff of breath, God's name flutters, is gone. Here it was, and we were, blink no more. Had I held on, it would have never been. So near, the words, speaking in another room. What are they saying? From the sound they make, they sound like words said in an empty room. Not to speak, because to speak would be a bit of undigested potato, a dab of mustard. I'd welcome, at this longing, to have the elegant objectivity of a Chinese poem to explain, no matter to comfort, no matter how to make a picture of all that is taken away, an edge, ocean, land, dark. Here we are, come this far. Feels like you brought me, but no, together the whole time until now. That's the knife. No more beautiful than this moment falling into place. I want but can't deny. I go, you stay, are gone. I'm confused. Is this moment dependent upon the last, or is it the next? Neither feels like it to me. Vast internal landscapes or seas, a pea-green boat, voyage. An occasional moment devotes attention to what's at hand, lets it go, seems to be enough of whatever it takes. What's today? The roads to nowhere, ever-diminishing particulars, not like losing memories, losing the pause in the day's occupation, a detail, an overlooked moment recalled that going was going to leave it, alone, but turned, decided no, go on, unsure what is being avoided, then embraced, if that's the word. Dreamlike isn't the quality, nor fragmentary. Think of being lifted, then let go, suddenly, sometimes, other times somehow unexpected. Since you died, I wanted to say since you went away, I've been living in a kind of Netherlands, flat, wet, and green, though the light is gray and thick and there are people on bicycles all over the place. I don't speak the language. It's not hard. It's not that I can't. I don't. Something wrapped in a napkin is all the time with me. Something yours, bread, a piece of cheese, seemed sensible, simple, or is it grief? Or that guilt let loose when things end?
Very nice.
And under that I have a fragment of a lyric by Jerome Kern.
Oh, really? Really?
I just picked it out there. So I was going to read right into that. I thought, wait a minute.
Yeah.
This is over. And it's Lorenz Hart. It's not Jerome Kern. It's Lorenz Hart. It seemed we stood and talked like this before. We looked at each other in the same way then. I can't remember where or when.
Right.
The clothes you're wearing are the clothes you wore. The smile you were smiling then, but I can't remember where or when. It's an absolutely brilliant song.
Yeah, it is. It's a really one of my old favorites. who did that? The Mills Brothers? Did they?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know what it's from. I don't think it's from Pal Joey, but it's from one of their musicals.
Yeah, it has been performed by many.
Yeah.
Many
it's great. It's the American Songbook.
Yeah, that's right. Part of the American Songbook.
before. We looked at each other in the same way then, but I can't remember where or when. The clothes you're wearing are the clothes you wore. The smile you are smiling, you were smiling then, but I can't remember where.
And that's Wordplay for today. I'm your host, Jeff Davis. We've been listening to poet Thomas Meyer. Thanks very much to Tom for the reading, great conversation, and lunch. And happy birthday, Mr. Meyer, born the 14th of February a few years back. Decisions that affect the operation and character of your Progressive Voice of the Mountains are being made right now. The volunteers have a proposal that strengthens the role of the people on the air and our listeners in the programming and operation of the station. Maine's executive director claims that he should retain corporate-style authority in programming decision-making. Go to www.wpvm.org and let Maine's board know which you prefer, grassroots or top-down. You can also check our new blog at wpvm.blogspot.com.